Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We are still talking about self-control. That's the third of the seven attributes which Peter tells us we as Christians are responsible to add to our faith. He talks to us about that in 2 Peter 1, 5 and following. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, that is zeal and strength of commitment, and to virtue knowledge, that's a working knowledge of the Word of God, an understanding of what it says and means, and to your knowledge, self-control or temperance. And that's the one that we're talking about now because that is so vital, and I think perhaps more than ever in the day in which we live. And so we need to continue to talk about it, to think about it, to turn it over, to look at it from this angle and from that angle, until by the help and grace of God we have an understanding of what this is and a commitment to adding it to our faith, a commitment to improving our self-control. And we will have that commitment if we have already added to our faith virtue, that is, commitment to truth and to righteousness. So that is where we're going on this Wednesday, October 1. We're glad you're with us at the beginning of a new month. And we're thankful for those radio listeners whose financial gifts enable us to continue to teach God's Word on this station. Temperance, self-control. What does it mean? Well, in short, it means self-control or self-discipline. Mastery over bodily appetites. Self-discipline. I think today's the first time I've used that particular phrase. Self-control, we've been using a lot. But self-discipline, that's what it is. Mastery over bodily appetites. Disciplining oneself for righteousness. Disciplining oneself for optimal fruitfulness in the Christian life. We want to be fruitful for our Lord and Savior. We want to hear His well done when we stand in His presence someday. We want to be able to look back over our life and see the lives of others that we have touched positively for the kingdom of God. We don't want to look back over our life and see wreck and ruin after we've been saved. We would expect to see wreck and ruin before the new birth. But after the new birth, wreck and ruin. And yet, I see some of God's children whom I... only God knows their hearts, but I have reason to believe they truly have been born again, but just seem to be so lacking in self-control and just continually stumbling and falling, and yes, by God's help and grace, are forgiven and restored and picked up. You can see their remorse. You can see their sorrow. You can see their confession. It's not that they are hardened to their sin and defending it, which would be an indication that they probably have never truly been born again, but they are sorrowful for it and giving every evidence that it grieves them, and yet they just don't seem to be able to get much mastery over their bodily appetites, and they go through life wrecking and ruining themselves and having all kinds of bad and broken relationships. And when they get to the end of life, if they don't get this under control, when they get to the end of life, when they look back, what are they going to see? Not people that they have positively influenced for the kingdom of God. They're going to see lots of people that they have negatively influenced because they did not add to their faith self-control. It applies, as we've already seen, to a number of areas of life. I've spent a couple of broadcasts talking about how it applies in the area of sexual desires, but there's so many other areas as well. It applies to what we could call stomach desires, and I think I actually talked about that two or three broadcasts ago. But I come back and touch upon it just briefly. Food and drink and other desires that fall into this category of taste. What we have an appetite for what tastes good. We have to control that. You know that. I don't have to convince you of it. Not I don't have to convince you of the truthfulness of it and the need for it, but I've got to convince you to get serious about it. To not just acknowledge that it's true, but to do something about it. Get those food appetites under control. Get that, whatever it is, appetite, tobacco appetite, under control. Get it under control. Add to your faith self-control. Get that alcohol appetite under control. You know that it's a disgrace for a child of God to be under the control of alcohol. It's not supposed to be controlling you. It's not supposed to be controlling your mind, your tongue, your actions and desires. Alcohol is not supposed to control you. Be not controlled by wine, but be filled with the Spirit, is what Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 5. In other words, don't be under the control of alcohol. Be under the control of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who has been given to you, if you're a child of God, He indwells you. He is God resident within you, who is there to help you with the commands that God has given you. God doesn't give us any commands, but what He also gives us, the grace, the help, the ability, the power to obey that command, if we will avail ourselves of it. So why don't we? Why don't we? God has given us what we need. Why don't we avail ourselves of it? Material desires, I think I've already touched upon that in the previous broadcast. Covetousness, financial freedom. You see, all of these things, and I'm going to talk about emotions in a moment, but all of these things up until this time, and emotions will also fit into this category, are areas in which there is a legitimate, God-honoring exercise, and then there are excesses which are beyond the boundaries which God has set, and we're supposed to control ourselves so that we stay within the boundaries. Back to sexual desires, we know where the boundaries are. Now, by God's help and grace, get yourself under control and stay within the boundaries that God has set. When it comes to food and drink, we know what boundaries God has set for us. All right, now it's up to us to exercise self-control and stay within the lines, stay within those boundaries. Whatever you need to do. Surely I don't need to lay it all out for you step by step by step, but if you're having trouble with food, then you're going to have to take some intentional, serious measures in order to get things under control. I don't know what they'll have to be for you. They're different for every person in every situation. As I've gotten older, my wife and I both, we have discovered that it's helpful on many days to just have two meals instead of three. Now we don't do that every day, and we're not going to be legalistic about it. I'm not going to make a rule and say, to please God, you've got to eat only two meals a day. But I'm going to say, to please God, you've got to get your eating appetite under control. That much I can say. I'm not being legalistic to say that. Add to your faith self-control. Now, how you control, what you do to control, I'm not your coach. I can tell you what has helped me, but I'm not here to tell you how to do it. I'm just here to tell you, do it. Whatever it takes. Two meals a day, that'll work for most people. Now, if you're young and are involved in a job where you're doing physical labor 8 or 10 hours a day, that probably won't work for you. But if you don't live that kind of life, that will probably work for you. Figure it out. I've known people who've done that. I'm thinking of a particular person I know who has not eaten supper for years. Now, that's the way he does it. He eats breakfast and a good-sized lunch, and then that's it for the rest of the day. He doesn't eat anything more after lunch. That's his way of keeping things under control. That's not the way I choose to do it. See, that's his way. He can't impose that on me. That's what you've got to do. Greg Barkman, this is what I do, and this is what you've got to do. You've got to stop eating supper. Well, I may have other ways of getting things under control. I may skip lunch and eat supper. That's not as good. Well, that may not be as good for you, but that may be better for me, for my schedule, for my lifestyle. And I may do better eating three meals a day and making sure that I cut down, that I choose them very carefully, that I exercise self-control. That's the whole point. In the area of material desires, the same thing is true. There is a legitimate acquiring of things, and there is an illegitimate acquiring of things. At the very bottom line, we've got to obtain the physical things that we need to sustain our physical life in a physical world. Your Heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. Food and clothing and shelter. God's designed us to need them. God promises to supply them. There's nothing dishonoring to God to acquire them. And there's no indication in Scripture that it's dishonoring to God to go beyond that if God supplies beyond that. There are indications that it doesn't honor the Lord to live above your means. We should all live within our means. We should really all live below our means. We're supposed to have a surplus to use for the kingdom of God. The Bible does teach us that, you know. So it really is not legitimate to spend 100% of what you earn. We've all got to learn to exercise self-control and spend less than what our income is. And that's just a matter of self-control. I've observed it so many times in the lives of so many people. Financial problems, so much of the time, are not a matter of having insufficient income, though many people have convinced themselves that's a problem. In most cases, it's not having self-control to rein in your passions, to rein in your desires, to discipline yourself to live within and below your means. If you'll do that, you won't have a problem. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.